Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I'll follow though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing.
We couldn't praise him enough for all the things that he does for us.
and how he supports us. The Bible let us know that it's in him that we live and that we move and that we have our being. Amen. So we give him thanks. He's there all the time. Neither sleep nor slumber. And we lift our hands to him. We lift our eyes to the hill from which cometh our help, recognizing that all of our help comes from the Lord. Amen. We're still studying the book of Matthew 24. We're still talking about the end time. And we're grateful for the gospel of the kingdom. This gospel must be preached as a witness to all the nations. The Bible says, then shall the end come. We must preach. Especially when we see this time that we're living in, and when the time is approaching us, we need to exalt him even more. You know, we need to warn them. You know, we need to exalt him even the more. Amen? So we thank the Lord. You know, this time and this season that we're in. You know, I'm grateful. Recognizing that this home, this earth, is not my home. I've got a home that is eternal in glory. You know, I've got a home, a place that is prepared for me. We're just passing through this place. We're sojourning here. We're just journeying through this time, through this place, to another land, to another place. You know, we're destined. The church is destined for heaven. You know, that they have the church has a heavenly calling. Amen? You know, earth is not our home. Our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We're seated at the table. So we're grateful to understand and to know whose we are and who we are. Amen? So we don't get so comfortable down here. You know, nobody comes to this place to stay. You know, nobody comes to this world to stay. The longest man that lived was Methuselah, lived 969 years, and then he died. This is the way that it is. Amen. We're either going to move from this place by the undertaker or the uppertaker. You know, we are a generation that should pass from life to life, never tasting death. But even so, Jesus is victorious over death and hell. He has the keys, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He has the keys of death and hell. You know, took the sting out of death, out of hell. Amen? And gave victory away from the grave. So we bless his holy and righteous name. Today's lesson is coming from Matthew chapter 24, 5, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye shall therefore shall see the abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judah flee unto the mountains, that him that which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. Amen. To thank God for his word. To thank God for the hearers of his word. And let us pray. Let us approach the throne of grace, the throne of mercy, that we might obtain help and to obtain grace in the time of need. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, as we come before your presence, we ask for forgiveness of sin. We ask that you wash us in your blood, Lord. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness is our prayer. Give us of thy spirit, Lord God, afresh and anew. A fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We just call on the greatest teacher that is, the Holy Ghost. We call on the Holy Ghost. We ask him to lead us and to guide us and to teach us and bring all things back to our remembrance, things that are necessary for this teaching, worship experience on tonight. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Bring things back to our remembrance. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask for revelation knowledge that you unveil the secret and the hidden thing. Make it known to us, Lord God. We ask that you send the word with power and conviction in the name of Jesus Christ. Now wash us in your blood. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. We thank you for the blood. We take authority over every hindering spirit. We bind it up. We render it helpless over these services. Now we ask you, Lord, for a heart to receive your word. We ask that you please write the word upon the tables of our hearts, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we will evermore praise your holy and righteous name and give you all the glory. For thou alone art worthy. These and all blessings, Father, we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. We thank God. We thank God and amen. Matthew 24, verse 14. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The gospel is good news. You know, the gospel is good news to the believer. You know, when there's certain people that are ordained to hear and know the truth. The Gentiles, when they heard this, they were glad in their heart, and they received. They went rejoicing. They received the word with gladness. They have a problem, you know, talking about Jesus is on his way back, and you know, we're on our way home. They didn't have problems, you know, talking about the cross and the fact that God died for our sins and prepared a place. He went away to prepare a place. They don't have a problem with the gospel. You know, some people, you know, can't receive so freely. You know, some people have problems believing the word. They just believe that everything has some kind of catch to it or some kind of gimmick to it. But when the believers, when the souls that are ordained to eternal life, when they hear the truth, they rejoice over the truth. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know and to understand that there is a better place. You know, there's a way out of this. You know, some people feel that this is as close as it can get to heaven, when this is not heaven at all. It's the earth. And it's a very sinful and evil society. And we have fallen so far away from God's purpose and plan, the original plan, you know, that God had for this world we've fallen so far away from it. So God came down here to restore us and gave us back our first estate and gave us a way of escape and a way back to the Father. You know, open up a door that was closed because of sin and the sin nature that was in our life. You know, Satan is considered the god of this world, the god of this age, this world, and the systems of this world. You know, Satan is the god of this world. Sin came in, and man fell. He lost his first estate, the first Adam. The second Adam restored us, gave us grace. You know, gave us this dispensation that we're living in called grace, whereby we are saved by grace through faith. It's our God's unmerited favor, his love for us. You know, he's wanted to show mercy toward us. The mercy cried out on our behalf, and God allowed a door to be opened for the Gentiles to be received in, you know, to be a part of his body, to be a part of his bride. You know, when they rejected us, when they rejected the invitation went out, and all these excuses, you know, so there was room at the table. And because the master was displeased when he heard, you know, I must go and prove these cattle and look at a piece of land, I just married a wife. And all these different excuses came back. The invitation went out. So he sent the servant out into the street, into the hedges and the highways, you know, to the broken and to the blind. And, you know, he said, go and compel them to come in, you know. So there was an invitation that went out. You know, there are people that, you know, when they find God or when they find their way in, you know, they don't have a problem, you know, coming in and rejoicing in the presence of the Lord, you know, making themselves glad. You know, they don't have a problem with believing God's promises, his word. You know, they don't have a problem setting their affection on the Lord and the things above and not the things of this world. You know, the temporal things of this world. You know, we get so mesmerized by the things of this world, this life. When we look at heaven, there's no poverty in heaven. You know, there's all kinds of riches, you know, as opposed to setting their affections on those things that are eternal. They set their affections on the things of this earth, which are temporary, you know, just a passing moment, a fleeting moment. So we thank God that the gospel, Jesus saved to the utmost, you know, he paid a price for our redemption. You know, there is hope at the feet of the cross for the sinner. You know, there is hope. You know, to the utmost, Jesus saved. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the fact that Jesus made a way, became a door that we might have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. You know, all them that believe, he gave power to become the sons of God. And we know that them that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So salvation was birthed in the heart of man. You know, God is looking for true worshipers that would worship him in spirit as well as in truth. Jesus bear witness that God was a spirit. You know, being able to bow down, to bow in his presence, to lay prostrate, to sacrifice your life so that you might live, you know, to die to self, to surrender, attached to his body, you know, attached to be a functional part of the lively stone, the living body of Christ, a living organism. So we thank God that he made these things available. God wanted to live in a lively stone. Your body becomes the temple of the living God. When you accept Christ, God accepts you. The work that Jesus did on Calvary, when you make him Lord and Savior, you make him Lord, and God accepts you. So we thank God for the message of the kingdom. To the utmost, Jesus saved. Keep in mind that salvation is three parts: sanctification, justification, and the last part is glorification. Then that he foreknow, he did call. Whom he called, he did predestine. Whom he predestined, he justified. And to whom he justified, he shall also glorify. Amen? So we thank God for raising up a people called by his name. You know, we bear his name in the earth. Jesus' people, Christian, or saint, I should say. Anybody can be called Christian, but only a few can be called saint. A surrendered life, that I might know him, says Brother Paul, in the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Not as though I've already attained or we're already perfect, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we thank God for making a way. Making a way. We bless his holy and righteous name for making a way, for satisfying the longing heart. You know, when you seek after him, though happily you shall find him, though he be not far from any one of us. You know, this salvation, this Jesus, that opens up a door and tells us, stands at the door and knocketh, tell us to come. Come unto me, all ye that are labored and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burdens, they are light. We certainly are grateful for such a generous God who wants to give us everything, all things, freely, make us one, be a part of him, being a part, one, in the oneness of the faith, oneness of the faith. Amen? So we are grateful for God who loves us beyond measure, above all of our understanding. You know, God loves us. So he helps us. And then he gives us mercy and grace and faith to believe. We bless his holy and righteous name on today. We bless the Lord. We bless him for his goodness. You know, I don't care who, where, we can't find anybody like him. There's nobody like him in the heavens above, and there's nobody like him in the earth beneath. No one is like God. No one. So we thank him for his love that is without measure. Amen. He knows how to satisfy broken, wounded people. We are simply clay in the hands of the potter. He molds us and he shapes us and he forms us and he fashions us. Not after his will, not after our will, but after his will. And we let his will be done. Amen. He makes us to be a vessel of honor. A vessel of honor. It is God who shows mercy. Amen. So we thank God for his mercy. We thank God for his mercy. We bless him. Only God can do these things. Only God take an unclean thing and make it clean. The power of the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb, the blood that was shed. So we thank God for his shed blood. Amen. There is a fountain that flows from Emmanuel's vein. If sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stain. So we certainly thank God for the blood. Old saints used to sing, old blood done sign my name, Jesus' blood and righteousness done sign my name. So we thank God that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Heaven is a beautiful city. All of these things here will pass away. But just think about it. John saw a new heaven. Bride come unroll itself like a bride, you know, coming down from heaven above. Old things were passed away. A new heaven and a new earth. Former things were passed away. And behold, all things became new. The firmament passed away with a fervent heat, you know, like, and the whole universe is shook. From here comes down from above heaven, like a bridegroom. So we thank God for the things that he's doing in the world and the things that he will do in the future. Let's look at verse 14 again. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached the world, and then shall the end come. So we thank the Lord. We thank the Lord. Amen. Seem to have lost power here. Amen. We're going to have to pick up this lesson on next week. Sorry for the interruption. But for whatever reason, on tonight we seem to have lost power, electricity. So we're going to start this lesson for next week. The enemy is very shrewd. You know, I wish there was some way I could continue preaching this word. Let's go a little bit further. Amen. Let's make the devil mad. The next verse, he talks about the abomination and desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. He said, Jesus, of all the prophets and everything that was said by the prophets, you know, Jesus informed us to be mindful of what happened in Daniel's 70th week. Jesus reminded us to be mindful of these things. And if we see these things, he said, flee. You know, don't come down off the housetop and take any clothes, but simply flee. You know, God has prepared a place for the man child. You know, the man child. The sun cloth woman, clothed with 12 stars, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Petra. Stone city. God gives the woman grace, and she's able to make her way into the wilderness and find her way to Petra, where God prepares a place for her for 3.5 years. In the middle of the week, the Antichrist breaks the tree. You know, he breaks the tree. The tree is signed for peace. And in the middle of the week, the treaty is broken. And Jesus says very strictly to flee. And he prayed that their flight be not in winter, or be not with child, or on the Sabbath day. You know, carry not you be not with child. You know, other words, he prays that there is no hardship to the point where it becomes difficult to travel. You know, of course, we can't even understand how dangerous this time is, the tribulation and the killing and the murder and the wars. But then Jesus came back and said that there will be a time that was worse than the tribulation. He called it great tribulation. In the middle of the week, middle of the day, 3.5 years, or after the opening of the six seals, we see a situation where not only, of course, the number of John's church is already in heaven. You know, they're already seated in heaven. You know, after the Revelation chapter 4, the door is open and they are told to come on up. Of course, the rapture occurs in the clouds. You know, the rapture occurs in the cloud. There's a, you know, they're taken away. There's a trump, the Lord himself for the sinner in the cloud with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ will get up. And then those that alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Church is raptured and removed from the earth. Of course, God didn't appoint the church to go through the tribulation or the time of Jacob's trouble. He protects or he covers or removes the church, his bride, from the earth. And the church does not experience the tribulation. Okay? So the church is given crowns. You know, there are five crowns that can be received. The church is not judged for sin, brothers and sisters. The church is judged for works. The church is judged for works. So we want to make sure that we are busy doing God's work. You know, we are busy doing the work of the Father. Only those that do the work of the Father. You know, you want to talk about who's going to heaven? You know, are you doing his work? Are you about the master's business? You know, we don't want him to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know you not. Now, let's think about this. God is the only one that will allow you to continue working and without firing you. And, of course, at the end, he has no recollection of the fact that you did work. You know, I've done all these things in your name. I've done all of these things. Jesus, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. So we want to be busy about the Father's business, and these that do the will of my Father shall receive eternal life. You know, don't ever think that your work is so important that the reason why God appointed you and gave you life and sent you here in this world for this purpose of doing his will. And, you know, it's only the work of God that's going to be recorded. You know, all this other stuff doesn't need to make any difference. You know, we don't want our work here to go undone or our work not to be recorded. You know, we don't want to just, you know, do a work here and not even get paid. So we do the work of God. We do the will of God. You know, we don't want our work here to be undone. We want the master to catch us with our work, doing our work, you know, doing our work. It is he that worked to will and to do for his good pleasures. You know, God has already purposed in us the will that he has for our life is to do his will. You know. Amen. So we bless God for the purpose. You know, we bless God for the purpose. And of course, the purpose God in our life is the increase of the kingdom. You know, to make full reproof of the word of God and to upbuild the kingdom of God. Amen? So that the world can see Jesus. You know, that's the only help that we have. So that the world can see Jesus. So we thank God for and his work. Now, the work that he does, we can do these and greater works because he gave us another, the Comforter. And the Comforter's job is to teach us and to guide us, to bring things back to our remembrance. You know, the Holy Ghost. You know, this is the reason why we must decrease so that he can increase. To know him and the power of his resurrection, the Holy Ghost. The resurrection power, if that same power be in you, it shall also quicken your mortal body. So we thank God for the Holy Ghost, the teacher and our guide, So the heavens is open. Revelation chapter 4, the heavens is now open, and the church is in heaven. After being raptured from the earth, you know, they're judged for work. And in Revelation chapter 4, the church is present in heaven. In the middle of the week, the martyred saints, the number that John saw, that no man could number. This is Revelation under the sixth seal. We see the martyred saints being raptured. We see the 144,000 being removed from the earth, and they're all in heaven. Between the sixth and the seventh seal. Jesus said there would be a time, you know, the tribulation and then the great tribulation like had never been seen before. Between the sixth and the seventh seal, you know, we see the vile judgments and the trumpet judgments being poured out on the earth. Under the sixth seal, the first vial. You know, we see, you know, plagues and, you know, all these different, you know, there were in Egypt, you know, with Moses, there were things that were done, you know, there was the frog, there was the balls and the brimstone, things, fire being poured out on the earth, the sea red, the Nile River was turned into blood. I mean, these are the things that happened. These things that happened in Egypt. You know, the vow judgments, there's seven vow judgments. And then as these judgments are poured out, not only do we have problems because of the war and the fact and the killing and murders and all of the things that are going on because of the Antichrist, but we see also the vow judgments, which is the things that are done supernaturally because of God's judgment that is poured out on the earth. You know, ultimately, again, trouble is one of those situations that cause man to, you know, to throw up his hands and to look to God and to call out and to cry out. You know, when there's a breaking point where people simply give up and they look to a power that's higher than themselves. They look to God for help. And God is able to step in and become a present help. Again, this judgment that is poured out on the earth is sad that the whole world has to experience it, but in actuality, the judgment is poured out against Israel for refusing to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, they didn't recognize him. You know, they didn't see him as Lord. You know, they didn't even recognize him. You know, the devil knew who Jesus was. But it's a shame that they didn't know who he was. So you got all these signs of wonders, all the healing and, you know, the leprosy and the, you know, healing the sick, you know, raising the dead. All of these things were done to show who he was. You know, he was God manifested in the flesh. So we, you know, he did these things so that they would know who he was, because the world didn't know, and especially the religious society. They thought that he was just simply Joseph's son from Naaman, you know, Nazareth. You know, isn't this Joseph's son from Nazareth? You know, claiming to be the city, you know, they call him a blasphemer. The fact that he called himself the Son of God. You know, they didn't know who he was. And it's a shame that demons knew who Jesus was. They knew who he was. Why did you come here, Jesus, to torment us before our time? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? The devils give testimony of who God is. And it's a shame that we can't recognize who Jesus is, our Lord and Savior, our kinsman redeemer. Amen? The sixth seal, between the sixth and the seventh seal. Of course, there's seven seals. After Revelation chapter 4, there's silence in heaven for about 30 minutes. Nobody could open the book. There's a book. Nobody could look on the book, only the Lamb that was chosen. So he began to open the seal. And as he opened the seals, there's seven seals in the book. Then the different events start happening: the white horse, the pale horse, the black horse, and the red horse. And then the fifth seal was opened. Gave robes to the people that were killed, the martyred saints, and told them to wait. Under the sixth seal, again, not only do we see problems in the world because of the Antichrist and the war, and the killing and the devastation that came forth because of the things that he did, but we start seeing the vial judgment and the trumpet judgments being rendered upon the earth. In the earth, there was a situation where men would run to the mountain and ask the mountain to hide them from the face of God. Of course, we talked about the plagues that were poured out because of the things, you know, like the plagues that were poured out with Moses in Egypt. And then we talk about the trumpet judgment. The earth began to rock and reel, you know, like a drunk person, and mountains were shifted out of their place. You know, we're talking about a situation that is beyond any human understanding. The vow judgment and the trumpet judgment. Amen. Jesus bearing witness that there will be great tribulation like has never been seen before, nor never shall be. You know, it is beyond any kind of human understanding about these things. But, of course, they refuse the truth, the love of the truth, so that they can be saved. There's a point where God simply turned them over to a reprobated mind. And then, for the very elect's sake, he hastened the time. Because no flesh would ever be saved. I mean, he simply hastened the time. And don't say what God can't do. God can do anything. He's no limitation. He's not limited to any law. He's not limited to any principle. You know, God has all power, all authority, and he can do all things. He can go into the future and fix that. He can go into the past and fix that also. You know, God is not limited. He's the Almighty God. You know, has all power, all authority, and is able to do all things. and to subdue all things under his feet. Amen. So we bless the Lord. Great tribulation. You know, he prayed that there, you know, the hardship, just think about it, because of religious mind, the religious facet of, you know, the Sabbath. He prayed that, you know, their journey would not be on the Sabbath, because some would simply, because of the Sabbath journey, which is just a few miles, you know, some would not even leave because, you know, the law states that, you know, this is how and this is that. I mean, some would die in Jerusalem because they their need to observe the Sabbath and Sabbath keepers. You know, this is the kind of mindset, you know, the Sabbath. You pray, they pray that the flight would not be in the winter. Hardship, having to deal with snow and the hard, the cold and the bitterness of winter. You know, Jesus prayed that their flight would not be in winter, or that they would be with child, or be with sorrow with suck. I mean, these are hardships. You know, he prayed that the journey would be swift, that would be without problems, that, you know, he gave them grace for the journey, just simply spoke it into existence. You know, Jesus spoke this blessing over their life. Pray, he said. Of course, you know, when God prays for you, when he stands in the gap, you know, when he stands with you, who can be against you? Amen? Who can be against you? You know, whatever God desires, you know, whatever God desires for you, when we pray according to his will, you know, his word is his will for our lives. He desires that we do his word. You know, what is his will for our life? The word. You know, the word is the word, and it's unchanging. You know, God respects his word. He listens to his word that he might perform it. You know, one of the things that God would always honor is his word. Amen? We certainly thank God for the word on tonight. We bless his holy and righteous name. We thank God that we're able to continue to minister, even though we don't have any light here to go through any reading of any scriptures, but we thank God for, you know, what we were able to do on tonight. So we stop here. Is there any questions? Is there any questions? If there be no questions, then we're going to pray. We're going to pray out and give God thanks for this wonderful session, this worship experience that we've heard on tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we bless your holy and righteous name. Truly the Lord is good, and his mercies endure to all generations. We thank you, God, for being compassionate toward me and my families and families everywhere, Lord God, the fact that you have made a way, God, the fact that you have done such good, such wonderful things in our sight. And we bless your holy and righteous name. Food, shelter, protection, Lord God, you've done it all. And we are certainly grateful. We're thankful for this worship experience of the night, the Holy Spirit, and how he's taught us in the way of righteousness. The fact that he's moved on our hearts, Lord God, concerning your word. Father, we bless you for the promises of your word. Your word, God, is forever settled in heaven. You know, it is a wonderful thing. It is a blessed hope. And we thank you for your word, God. We thank you, God, for the hearers of the word. We ask that you bless their families, bless the works of their hands. It is God who will and to do all of his good pleasures. You know, it is God. So we bless you, you know, we bless you, Lord God, for purposing the things that you purpose and made available to us. We are grateful. In spite of it all, Lord God, we give thy name praise. In spite of everything, We just ask you, Lord God, to save souls everywhere for mercy and grace. Speak a word over our lives. Speak a word over this dying world. We ask you to come, Lord God, with all your quickening power. Send your angels, you know, ministering angels, ministering spirits, ministers to the hearts of men. Speak, God, into their hearts. Lord, we declare a generation shall stand upon the earth and declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We declare that many shall be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Many shall come in. There shall be a revival. There shall be a revival. We thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Send your spirit, Lord. Send the power down. Let the power of the Holy Ghost set us on fire. Let that redeeming power, the power of the Holy Ghost, redeem our hearts again. Teach us your commandments. Teach us your will, your precepts, and your principles. We'll ask you, God, to write these precepts upon the tables of our hearts. Lord, we ask for a spirit that's worthy. In the name of Jesus Christ, build us up, Lord God, where we're torn down. Oh, God, build us up, God. Strengthen us in our heart, in our soul, in our minds. Give us the strength. Give us the power, the authority, and the ability. Make quick work of our hands, Lord God. Do a quick work within us. For we recognize that the time is at hand. The time is short. Our Lord, we ask that you bless us. And we shall be blessed. Keep us, God, and we shall be kept as our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We thank God, and amen.